FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is April 4th, 2018, and it's time for another Triple Lutz Report. This is episode number 446. That's right. You heard it. 446. Man, time flies when you are doing what you love. And heads up to all of you. I want to thank you. I mean, I've got hundreds and hundreds of you wishing me the best, you know, concerning my sister's passing. It really made me understand that we truly are a community here. And I want to hear more from you. I want to hear from more of you. So don't forget, you can always email me, be part of the show, kl@kerrylutz.com. Another thing is, I've set up a phone number, a hotline. And if you have something you want to say that you think would be good on the show, just call the number, leave a message in the voicemail. Really simple process. The phone number is 914-424-4142. 914-424-4142. Hey, and, you know, housekeeping stuff. As always, sign up for the newsletter. That you just go to Financial Survival Network, plug your name in, you get the three free reports, and you'll get the Bitcoin cryptocurrency white paper that John Rubino and I worked on, or just send an email and put crypto report in the subject line. Hey, don't forget, you know, you can get the show automatically. All you have to do is go to the iTunes store. And I'm sure you've got iTunes either on your PC or your Mac. You definitely have it on your Mac. Just put in Kerry Lutz in the iTunes store search bar, and you come up with it. You click subscribe. Automatically gets delivered to your computer every time we put out a new show. Oh, another thing, our sponsor, you know, great podcast. It's a podcast you definitely want to listen to. I'll talk more about it later in the show. So I told you, I threatened you like a year and a half ago that I was going to do a show on stem cell therapy. And finally, that has become a reality. We have released the first five shows. You could just Google it, called Stem Cell Solutions. And otherwise, just go to the iTunes store, search for it. It's on the site. I've been posting the episodes, and thousands of you have listened to the episodes we posted so far. You could just go to iTunes, type in Stem Cell Solutions, and click the subscribe button, get delivered to you. Stem cell therapy is an amazing breakthrough treatment. The way it works is it's called regenerative medicine, and they remove stem cells. In the case of Dr. McQuillan and her team, they're doing it from bone marrow. I know it sounds, oh, bone marrow, you have to go into the bone. It's a very easy, painless 15-minute procedure to get the cells out. So they pull the cells from bone marrow. You can get it from other parts of the body, but right now the FDA doesn't want other types of stem cell therapy. They only are allowing doctors to pull it from the bone marrow. Dr. McQuillan, she's gotten numerous patents on her procedure for doing it. She's been working on stem cells for nearly 15 years, and they extract the cells from your bone marrow. They centrifuge it. They use an enzyme to actually separate the stem cells from the marrow, and then they take that byproduct, that concentrate, if you will, the stem cells, and they, depending what part of your body is hurting, what ailment they're addressing, they will implant them. They will do various means to get the stem cell to the right area. And I've interviewed, I don't know, 6-8 people. You're going to be hearing the stories, their stories of recoveries that up until stem cell therapy would have been impossible. It just could never happen. But with stem cell therapy, people are walking, they're they're playing sports when they were basically could barely walk because their knees were totally messed up. And they do all of this with minimal invasiveness, minimal. It doesn't really even qualify as surgery. It's fast and it works really fast. One person interviewed Danielle. She got the stem cell therapy injected into her spine. And within a couple of days, the pain started diminishing. And then within 2 weeks, she had literally gotten out of her wheelchair and was walking around. And by the end of a month, she was completely functional, like a normal human being. It's really an amazing thing. So I urge you, if you have any orthopedic ailments, neck, back, hip, elbow, shoulder, wrist, you name it, any orthopedic ailment, ankles, think about this. And you can call this number, from any place in the country. They'll figure out how to get you the therapy. 800-420-2869, 800-420-2869. Dr. McQuillan has trained over 1,000 physicians across the nation on how to use stem cell therapy. She is really a pioneer, and she works with Dr. Giuseppe Paesi. He's been doing this forever, long time. He started out in chiropractic, then became a osteopath so that he could help the body better heal and better address pain. If you're suffering from chronic pain due to arthritis, due to a variety of ailments, and it's muscular, skeletal, or orthopedic, you owe it to yourself to call them. 800-420-2869. This isn't a commercial. Hey, their website, which will give you some good information about stem cell therapy and other things they offer, is newumedical.com. Newumedical.com. Take a look. I highly recommend it. I'm going to be going for it shortly. I have a condition. I fell and hit my neck skiing many, many years ago. I have 3 torn ligaments in my neck. I was just thankful that I didn't get paralyzed. But the pain, now that I'm in Florida, the pain's not terrible because it's usually warm here. In New York, I'd go through winters and just real, I don't want to call it agony because I could easily take the pain. It's just that it was worse when the muscles tighten up and such. Florida, much better. So anyways, I wanted to share that with you. And again, many thanks for all your warm wishes. Really, really meant the world to me. So this million kitty anti-gun march. Look, these kids are really pawns. They're well-intended. Hey, look, if we could just ban guns and stop people from killing each other, this would be wonderful. If we could ban drugs and stop people from overdosing on opioids, it would be great. If we could ban high caloric foods, big gulp sodas, and everybody could go back to your normal weight, this would just be the best thing in the world. We would change things just by governmental proclamations. But you know, and I know, that it doesn't work that way. And the problem with guns is really what it's about is a mental health crisis. Look, I lived in New York for a lot of years. I remember in the 70s, there was a Supreme Court case which said that you could not involuntarily confine somebody to a mental hospital if they weren't a immediate threat or danger to the community. And at that time, there was 550,000 people confined to state mental hospitals. Today, at this particular moment, there's 160,000. What happened to that 390,000 people? At the same time, the population's probably gone up 40, 50%. You got more people on drugs and alcoholics than ever. So we probably need beds for close to 750,000 to a million people who are unable, unwilling, or mentally incapacitated. And that problem is not being addressed. All of these shooters, so many of them, the police know all about. Now, the Parkland shooter, near and dear to my heart, the Broward County Sheriff should be removed from office. He's an incompetent. He's an ideologue. He's for Hillary. That doesn't make him a bad person, but he is a bad person. His office went out there supposedly 45 times to this kid's house. Did they ever arrest him? Did they ever commit him? You know, in Florida, they have the Baker Act. All you need is two doctors to sign a sheet of paper, and that guy gets committed. And they talked about committing him, but like most government officials, they did absolutely nothing. Palm Beach County Sheriff apparently shares a minor part of the blame. They went to his new home, where these people took him and his brother in so they could get his mother's inheritance. They went to that home a number of times. Again, nothing was done. There are all of these time bombs walking around. And if they have access to a gun, God help us.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Are you a highly paid professional, a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer? Well, here's a podcast for you. It's called Wealth Formula Podcast, and you'll find it at wealthformula.com. Robert Kiyosaki, Jim Rickards, Fannie Mae Chief Economist Doug Duncan, they're just a few of the recent guests on this podcast that I'd like to recommend you try out. Wealth Formula Podcast is a really unique show, and it's great if you're looking to build generational wealth. The host, Buck Joffrey, is an ex-surgeon who retired and is now an entrepreneur and investor with a focus on peeling back the secrets of the ultra-wealthy. It's a great show for professionals and entrepreneurs. Check it out. You'll find it at wealthformula.com. Podcast is available on the usual platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, or just Google it, Wealth Formula Podcast.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
So disarming me or disarming you is not going to stop this person from arming themselves. And with 300 plus million guns on the streets, believe me, if I was the kind who wanted to illegally purchase a handgun or a long rifle, an AR-15, I could easily do it. But I do things legally, but to think that pass a law and it's going to change it all, nothing of the sort. Now, Florida has raised the age to purchase a gun. I think for a pistol, it was already 21. For a long gun or rifle, they raised it from 18 to 21. Normally, I'd be against it, but because the system's so screwed up, during their juvenile years, if they have a record, if they have emotional problems, it's not going to show up on the system in all likelihood. So we need to give them that 3 extra years before they can legally purchase to get into trouble and get into the system. So hopefully then the system will work to prevent them from arming themselves and, you know, just doing horrendous, heinous things. But the FBI knew about the guy. They didn't stop him. The Broward County Sheriff knew about him. They didn't stop him. The Child Protective Services, they knew about him. They did nothing. And a handful of other agencies knew all about this insane person. And what happens? Nothing. And look, we had that shooting yesterday at YouTube. A lady by the name of Nassim Agdam. And luckily, she just injured a couple of people. But the fact is, her father said that she was upset with YouTube because they were censoring her. Imagine that. YouTube actually censoring people? And she wasn't even a conservative. She was a PETA nut. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And her father reported her missing. Said he was worried that she was going to attack YouTube. And they find her sleeping in a car, and guess what they did? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't know if they searched her, if they looked for a gun, whatever. But somehow, all of this is the NRA's fault. Censorship on YouTube, Google, Facebook, Twitter is out of hand. It's off the charts. I'm not saying that's what caused this nut job to kill people. It seems she was a Muslim. Maybe she was radicalized. We don't know that for sure, but we certainly can't discount that, can we? So talking about censorship, YouTube, you see with these QAnon posts, anytime anybody really pushes QAnon, they seem to wind up getting knocked off YouTube. YouTube is using the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're using Snopes. They're using all sorts of different left-wing sources to judge whether something's fake news or whether it's provocative and should be banned according to the YouTube terms of service. I said this before, Facebook terms of service as well. I said this before, I'll say it again. These platforms, and that's all YouTube, Google, Facebook, Twitter, they're just platforms. They need to be treated as common carriers, meaning any message gets carried on there. Look, it's the same thing as a telephone. You pick up the phone and you call somebody. Verizon isn't saying, oh no, we don't want Kerry Lutz's calls. You're blocked from the network. But this is exactly what they're doing on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. And it's wrong, and it shouldn't be allowed to go and continue. Selling the data is almost the least of it. I think it's bad. I don't like the idea of it, but there's really no way to put the toothpaste back in the tube. Pure transparency. Everything they sell should just be up on the web, and get rid of the biased algorithms. During the election, when you typed in Donald Trump into Google, it auto-completed, is the Antichrist, and there's a picture of Donald Trump juxtaposed up against the devil with horns, fire coming out of his eyes. You put in Hillary Clinton, and it picks up a picture of Jesus Christ and Mother Teresa, you know, holding her and she holding them and making eyes. I mean, you know, that's absurd, but look, you know what I'm talking about. This bias exists in search results. It exists all over the damn place, and it needs to stop now, because half of you out there, evidently, hopefully not the half listening to this show, are actually getting most of your news from Facebook. I see people doing this. I hear about it. I mean, I spent 2 weeks with my niece while my sister was ill, and my brother, no less, and they're both on Facebook, like, throughout the day, picking out these morsels of information, and they're both on opposite sides of the political spectrum. And I'm saying, guys, like, this is not the place you should be getting your news. It's pure fraud. And just think about that, because, you know, there's nowhere to be, it's no place to be, it's not a news source. All right. It's an aggregation source with a dog in the show. And that's what you really have to be. You got to be concerned about. Look, another thing, the ICE raids that have been going on here, California, New York, so many other sanctuary cities won't cooperate with ICE. Look, maybe they don't want to give them like run-of-the-mill illegal aliens who haven't done anything else wrong. But these guys who've committed crimes, it's heinous. Some of them are heinous. Sex with a minor, sexual molestation, rape, drunken driving, a whole bunch of nefarious things, armed robbery. And yet the state won't hand them over to ICE. So the Orange County Sheriff in California said, this is it. I've had it with this BS. So what she's doing is publishing the release times of her prisoners, especially the illegals, probably has an asterisk next to it. So that way the ICE, you know, immigration can check them out and say, oh, we want to get rid of that guy. And then they just wait at the jail and pick him up. Hey, look, this has to be stopped. This is really antithetical to the concept of a United States of America. Hey, you know, there's an article here also, Sky News added, that deported American gang members make El Salvador's murder rate soar. Hey, I feel bad for El Salvador, but if it keeps our rate from going up any higher or reduces our rate, you know what? El Salvador better figure this stuff out. You know, it's a super violent country, partly due to us. Let's force them to get their house in order. Same with Honduras. You know, that wall of immigrants coming from Mexico, going through Mexico to the U.S., Trump said no mas. And all of a sudden, the Mexican government backed off, said, oh no, we're not going to let them there. That's not our policy. Look, you can look forward to more capitulation by the Mexican government, regardless who's president. You know, it's becoming a failed narco state, Mexico. And, you know, it really is unnecessary. it's not, it just should never, never be, but yet it is. And what can you do? We have to support the government there, try to help them get their act together. But the first order of business is protect Americans, right? I mean, protect people in this country from enemies within and without. You know, this leads me to another thing. I got an email from a guy by the name of Eric Katz. It's a long email. I'll tell you a little bit. I'm a big fan of your show. But this interview with Ron Hosko was extremely one-sided, which I will agree. Basically, his thing is his ideas for Eric, and I appreciate your sending, and I'm not being critical of you by any stretch. For law enforcement, never point a weapon at anybody unless there is an immediate threat to innocent life. Don't have police carry weapons for routine traffic duties. Most arrests can be made simply by emailing somebody, the minor ones, and definitely need a campaign against endless stream of Hollywood crap, which spurs on violence. And if the police were less militant, he believes that crime would decrease. And look, you know, there's been abuses, Ruby Ridge, Waco, that shooting of one of the guys who was with the Bunkerville standoff. You know, he was Fullison. I can't remember his name exactly, but he was shot and killed by them. During the Bunkerville standoff, the interior agents had a hit list of people that just, you know, they felt were expendable. They might shoot if it came to a shootout with them. But look, here's the thing, okay? We live in a world where there is an element of society that is just dangerous to you and to myself. And certain states don't allow you to be armed to exercise your Second Amendment rights. And here in Florida, you're encouraged to. Probably 10%, 5 to 10%, probably 12, 13% of the adult population has a carry permit. But to think that you can send a postcard to an MS-13 member and he's going to show up for his arrest isn't going to happen. We wouldn't have fugitives if we could just send this out. Now, I totally agree with Eric. There's way too many criminal offenses. There's been an explosion in the number of criminal laws that can land you in prison, many of them bogus. And Eric is also correct. The militarization of local police is a really alarming trend. They don't need mine-resistant anti-personnel trucks to carry them around. And every police department has a SWAT team. And this is all traced back to the war on drugs. We need immediate, and it's not going to happen, but immediate decriminalization and legalization of most drugs. That would get rid of these issues immediately. And we need the reinstitution of involuntary commitment of mentally deranged people. You know, most of the homeless people out there are mentally deranged. They're alcoholics, addicts, or suffer from mental illness. Of recent years, yes, there have been more people who have been homeless due to the housing crisis, the foreclosure crisis, but for the most part, 80 to 90% of these people are substance abusers, alcoholics, or mentally ill. So let's get them off the streets as soon as possible, and we're all going to be much, much safer. So that is it for today. Again, email us, sign up for the newsletter, go sign up for iTunes and subscribe to the show. If you're listening to me on YouTube, click that subscribe button, click the thumbs up, leave comments. I know you do anyway. I read most of them. I just don't have the time to really respond to all the YouTube comments out there. A lot of great ones, hundreds of them every month. I'm sorry that I don't get around to it, but I will. Eventually, I'm going to make it a point. Thanks for being with us today. It's been another Triple Lutz Report. This is Kerry Lutz signing off.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.